Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Pasty, but with Sean Stasiak's hot pink pants wrapped around it like it's the package.
Come on to the rock show. Come on to the people's show. Come on to the premiere show, SmackDown.
It's the 13th of January, the year of our Lord 2000. In the UK, the Tim Burton, alright but not bad film Sleepy Hollow had finally dethroned the mighty The World Is Not Enough from the UK box office number one. Nobody was releasing video games in the second week of January 2000 because that would be insane. Instead, everybody is trying to beat Crystal Caves on Donkey Kong 64.
Oh, what a game. Underrated.
I'd say so. Tess wouldn't. Sadly, Westlife's god-awful cover of I Have a Dream, really tempting the end of the world that was happening in the millennium, is still number one.
Oh, go on, lads!
In the UK
hanging
chart.
On in there!
And clearly, the honky-tonk man of bad singles. But somewhere in America, that little old country, out of the pond, there was a little company called WWF putting on a little show called SmackDown. And the world needs to know, in these trying times, what was happening back then, 20 effing years ago. But luckily, isolated as you all are, in your bunkers, your panic rooms, your Harry Potter bedrooms, wherever you are, fret not, because myself and Tom Campbell are the only people on the planet right now who know the answer to these questions and what happened on that fateful night on the 13th of January 2000. And you're, of course, listening to the dulcet audio-based blue, what does it say? Blue microphone. It says blue, it's not black. Tones of Matthew hailing from his kitchen somewhere in Benwell, speaking to a man who was coughing directly into his soup can attached via wire all the way in Gateshead. Mr. Tom Campbell, how the hell are you?
I might be in Gateshead. I might be in Jesmond. I might be in Jarrah. I might be in Plymouth. Who knows where my isolation station is? As far as I'm concerned, it's across the nation.
Your VPN says you're in Milan.
There you go. That's good. That's good. I'm going to keep it that way. Math, how are you doing this week, sir? Thank you for joining me on the Cultaholic Classic SmackDown review.
Oh, thank you, Tom. Honestly, I have been healthy. I have maintained my little exercise routine of putting some on Netflix and Dean stretching and whatever. I'm fine. You know, I'm past the point where it's like you cough once and you go, oh God, this is it. It's like the Rock putting his eyebrow up. But now it's the point where my self-isolation, I've gone, well, it's been 2 weeks since Germany. No more self-isolation. I can go out and see people. So you go on Facebook and go, hey, who wants to hang out? Nobody. Because it's bleeding 28 days later outside the rest of the humanity. So I'm like, all right, cool. Back to wrestling and trying to be secret agent on GoldenEye it is. So
I would have happily...
Not the worst thing to complain about.
But, exactly.
So what were you saying, Tom?
I'd have happily hung out with you. And that was kind of going to be my plan. So as you know, if you're following the narrative, the Cultaholic office has now closed. We are operating out of spare rooms, studies, kitchens, in separate houses all over the place now, whilst we wait for the virus that we cannot say in fear of demonetization, Voldemort, to blow over. And so my plan was to spend, you know, kick back a little bit, help my community, be like one of those people. You can see where the story's going. Be one of those people that could go and collect groceries for the other people who were struggling. I was ready to be like the hero of the community and do my job here. And then I woke up on the first day in my new office with a new dry cough. I was like, oh no. And my good lady noticed it. So we rang, so 111 was rang, and it was like, look, it sounds like you may or may not have it, but as a precaution, since it's a new cough, you need to self-isolate for 14 days. It's like, oh no. So, and the sad thing is, and I have terrible guilt for most things, but like this is dogging me. My good lady has unfortunately been dragged into this mess with me, who has no symptoms of Voldemort at all. However, because she lives with somebody who has, self-isolation, friends! Yay! It's fine. We didn't want that freelance work anyway.
Oh, fun.
So, as we speak, I'm in the what was the spare room, now my office. The good lady is playing The Sims, and probably a little bit annoyed with me, but understandably so. But we're gonna get through this together. It's all fine. We ordered pizza last night because heaven forfend Domino's shuts down during a massive pandemic. But otherwise spirits are high. I may have Voldemort, I may not, but spirits are otherwise high.
I mean, not for nothing, it would be funny in a horrible way if it's like, oh, it turns out I do, and I spent the last days of my life on Earth watching SmackDown with Matthew.
Couldn't think of a finer way to go, mate. There's part of me that goes, I kind of hope I have got it now. It sounds really bad, because at least it would justify me staying in for 2 weeks. If I get to the end of this, they go, right, oh, you're fine. I kind of want a bit of justification for a fortnight trapped in my flat.
Yeah, that's a very relatable feeling, Tom, when you ring into work going, look, I hope I'm ill. It's not just that I'm unhealthy, I haven't looked after myself. I hope this is a proper thing. So you go to the doctor, he goes, yeah, it's a virus. You're like, yes.
Yeah, you want that a little bit, don't you?
I'm not being dramatic.
I don't know when you went into isolation, whether you feel like this or whether it was sort of too soon for you to process it. But I've seen all the stories coming around of people who were going into isolation, but there was a few sticking around. And as I said at the beginning, I wanted to be like the care in the community. I wanted to be the guy that could, you know, go to Tesco's for everybody in my area and do all that. And then when I woke up in the morning and the symptoms were coming through, it felt like I was playing an MMORPG and my characters just died. Like, I feel like I've let the team down. Like, guys, you gotta go on without me. I wanted to be useful and fight the Hydra, but I can't now.
I think a wee man on Facebook, not the guy from Jackass, the guy from ICW, did good things like, which character would you be in the apocalypse? Because he was saying, I'd definitely be the guy who'd say, like, ah, choke on him, or I hope I give you the poos, or whatever. And I would definitely, in question, be the guy who would have no famous last words. He would just go, ah, very undramatically.
I think your last words would be, what bus?
Shut up, Tom. There's no zombie behind me.
Anyway.
Oh, God, Tom.
On with the show. I've spent most of my 36th year dying. I said I'd be dead at 36. Maybe this is how I go. In my spare room, foaming at the mouth, watching SmackDown.
Why did you say you'd be dead by 36?
I just had the thought last year that I think I'll be dead at 36.
Bloody hell, Tom.
I think I've jinxed it because I've been ill since I turned 36. Should we get on SmackDown?
There we go, Tom.
I feel like we should move away from discussion of Voldemort and on to brighter things.
Right, moving out from Fallout 3. Usually we set the tone now for people who don't care about Westlife, about what was happening in the world of wrestling news. So why don't you take it away, Mr. Tom Coffing?
First of all, if you don't care about Westlife, I don't care about you. Second of all, this was the beginning of hopefully a clean slate for World Championship Wrestling, because reports are out that WCW had an absolute stinker in 1999. According to Dave Meltzer in the Wrestling Observer newsletter from this week in the year 2000, reports are that WCW as an entity lost $10 million during 1999, which would make it the most money any single wrestling company has ever lost in a one-year period in the history of the business. Imagine like how bad your company has to be going, where in the height of a wrestling boom period, where wrestling is a cultural phenomenon, you lose $10 million.
That's so weird, because even Jim Crockett Promotions, who had to sell to Ted Turner when he was buying planes, didn't lose as much money as WCW in 99.
That's absolutely horrible. Ridiculous.
And it's also weird when these periods of history happening. It's not like there's one bad episode of Nitro or one bad pay-per-view and that's it. Meow, boom. They were on the ropes from very late 97 after Starrcade to 98. 98, they were still hotter than the sun. But the issues that they had in 97, it went unresolved. So by the time 99 came around, it's like, oh, yeah, it's not been great 98, but now it's going to affect us in 99. So it was fascinating to see how, like one of those big boats, you know, they see smoke coming, they can't just turn like a small boat. They have to like wait a bit, then turn.
They can't move away from the iceberg that they are heading drastically towards right now.
There we go. What else is happening in the news, Tom?
Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair have meetings with WCW head office this particular week. Hogan has agreed to return on Nitro at the Nassau Coliseum. There is talks of potentially a Ric Flair return as well, but nothing has been set at this time. Ric Flair has said on many occasions how unhappy he is in WCW at this point, possibly heading to the WWF. Maybe soon. We'll have to keep an eye on that one, I think. But Hogan is speaking of a return, and he's picked a date in particular. He's picked to return on the 14th of February, Valentine's Day. It's Nitro from the Nassau Coliseum. Do you know why? Why do you think Hogan has chosen to return on Valentine's Day?
Because he's a lover, not a fighter.
Nope, because he is not a dummy. He's also a bit of a carny. Because that is the night where Raw will be preempted by the Westminster Dog Show. So Nitro is guaranteed a ratings boost, which Hulk Hogan can claim as his own. Brother, 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 brother. That's Hogan's
and
world.
Why not? And why not? If they fall for every time, don't stop doing it. So the dog show's coming up.
Mm-hmm. Can we review the dog show?
Is there any bulldogs in tight jeans looking a bit rough?
Rough.
Thank you.
Hey, very good, very good.
So, the Hogan Flair... Oh, go on. I was going to say, like, coming up, Tom, is Sold Out 2000, which is such an insane disaster. I can't wait just to recap the news, but never mind what SmackDown is that week. It's just recapping all the things that happened leading up to that show and the show itself. Hogan and Flair should have shown up the day afterwards going, hey, and here's two blank checks, lads. Write whatever you want and come back as soon as possible. Because things are about to go from bad to very bad.
And do you know what? What I love is that people are discovering this time period for the first time through this podcast. And I love to tell those people that $10 million lost in 1 year is a drop in the ocean. compared to what is coming.
And it's like the butterfly effect. Every time WCW does something bad, WWF does something right.
Oh, it's so true. Hey, staying with WCW for a short while longer before we move on to something else, right? Which one wrestler in this particular week in the wrestling world do the following people have in common? Okay?
Okay.
Jimmy Snuka, George the Animal Steel, Tito Santana, King Kong Bundy, Honky Tonk Man, and Bob Backlund. Nick Bockwinkle and Bruno Sammartino.
And what's the question?
Which one wrestler do all of these guys have in common in this particular week?
And this week? Oh, God. They were all announced to be wrestling at Sold Out 2000.
You do you know what? You are half right.
Jesus.
You are.
Wait, really?
You are.
That was a joke.
Right. You're a third right, maybe.
Oh, I'm happy with that.
Do you want the answer?
I absolutely do.
The answer is Jeff Jarrett.
Oh, okay. Because you had the three matches with the first three people you mentioned on the Nitro coming up.
Let me explain the full story. So on an upcoming Nitro, Jeff Jarrett is in a series of matches facing legends of wrestling. Several former WWF stars were approached about being brought for the angle. Jimmy Snuka and George the Animal Steel agreed and made about $3,000 each for doing so. However, approached and turning down the offer were Tito Santana, King Kong Bundy, the Honky Tonk Man, and Bob Backlund. Also approached was Nick Bockwinkel and Bruno Sammartino to put Jarrett over.
What?
Yes!
Bruno!
Bruno Bockwinkel asked to put Jarrett over.
That is amazing. Obviously, Tito Santana would change his mind because he would wrestle. Bob Backlund, I can see. At this point, he was wrestling on indie events against Gilbert. So, yeah, sure. Don't know why he didn't want to put over Jarrett. Nick Bockwinkel's a... he wasn't the type to keep on coming back for that. He would have been very old. He was really old when he had that five-star match with Kurt Hennig in, 86. So I think it was more out of the fact that he was immobile or fighting over the remote in the old folks' home. But to ask Bruno to show up on Nitro after he's not been on TV in decades, that is amazing. Thank you, Tom.
Bro,
just when you think you know everything about WCW.
Hear me out, bro. Jeff Jarrett is the greatest of all time. Bro. You're going to lose to the best ever, bro. Bruno, bro. Bruno, bro. You're going to lose to the best, bro.
Imagine if we got Bruno versus Jarrett on Nitro.
Oh, my God. What a weird
world. So, Snuka was paid $3,000, was that?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, that's a dollar for every day he escaped custody.
Do you want some rock controversy?
Did it kill in the ratings? Oh, sorry, go on.
From the Observer newsletter for this week, there was a huge bit of controversy stemming from a radio interview Dwayne The Rock Johnson did on the Opie and Anthony show.
Oh, I've seen this.
You know this one?
Get into a motive, Karen.
Oh, okay. It stemmed from Opie and Anthony bringing out a guest named Sick Boy, who was the webmaster of a site where another person writing under fictitious name WDB wrote a parody rock interview on the show, which included a fictitious response to a fictitious question. So, Sick Boy. So, am I right in thinking that this is like a wrestling role-playing malarkey?
It seemed to be there were lots of these around this time and other people who weren't around on the internet. And wow, do I feel 5,000 years old talking about this? But yeah, there were people who would sometimes write the results. There were people who would write their own fantasy stuff. My God, there was a lot of fantasy booking and writing and stuff like that. And a lot of joking stuff, why wouldn't you around this period? So I can see, I don't remember the specific one, but I know a lot of them like this around the time.
Okay, so the lad in question wrote this fictitious response to a fictitious question about a bank where The Rock in character said I'm half black and half Samoan. I don't know whether I should rob the bank or eat it. Now The Rock didn't say that.
Jesus Christ. Eat the bank. The guy had half the first half of the joke written out and was like, what did Samoans do?
So this did the rounds. And there is a hoo-ha with The Rock, who was on the phone to his publicist from the WWF for 2 hours regarding the post. He goes on to the Opie Anthony show. He's plugging his book, The Rock Says. It's all going well. And then they bring out Sick Boy, the guy who wrote this thing. And The Rock was furious for claiming that by putting him on, in some way, Opie and Anthony were condemning the racist remark, and he stormed off the show. The audience...
No, endorsing the remark, Tommy, you mean?
Yeah, endorsing the rant rather than condoning. That was, I'm just reading verbatim from Dave Meltzer, who was writing in, who has spent 20 years writing in Chicken Scratch, but we love him for it. The audience was stunned with his reaction, and Sick Boy, while Rock was telling him off, claimed to have not read the post. He was, of course, the webmaster of the site, so it's very logical that he didn't read it, and that he'd fire the writer eventually, and the controversy seemed to have closed the entire site down. Obi and Anthony were left there embarrassed with everything that happened. Their big guest had walked off, and Rock went on to claim that the site made racial remarks about Mark Henry and Jacqueline as well, which the site denied. It was all very silly. It sounds like a role-playing website that went massively out of hand. And yeah, I actually kind of stand with The Rock a little bit by bringing this guy out as part of the interview. You are kind of seen to be endorsing it, and you shouldn't.
Absolutely, and that audio is easily found on YouTube. Obi and Anthony listening to The Rock. Obi and Anthony were very interesting characters, to say the least. But yeah, they would have people on like The Rock to, on their heyday, talk about things, and it's very abrupt. Hey, let's bring Sick Boy in. And The Rock's like, whoa, Sick Boy? I've seen that website, and it's like, you can hear the comedy training stalling, like, on the tracks. Like, this is a real thing. Oh, and he's like, all right, well, The Rock's going to leave. And it's like, oh, what? So then it became the headlines, you know, The Rock storms out of Opie and Anthony. It's like, oh, it's worth watching if you want to listen to that. But I mean, yeah, and again, I'm not endorsing these things, but they were very, you know, look at the audience. The audience is still the Attitude Era. It's slightly maturing, but not by much. So it was aimed at that type of audience, that type of thing. And to say that a man who was half Samoan would eat a bank is a very realistic comment to be made on those websites. So.
Jim Ross said on Wrestling Observer Live that WWF are looking at putting Amy Dumas, a.k.a. Miss Congeniality in ECW, together with light heavyweight prospect Papi Chulo.
Hey.
So this will start quite a big movement in wrestling. And the star
not for
of which
Papi Chulo.
Not for Papi Chulo. I was going to say, the star of this will surprise you, but it ain't Papi Chulo. Fingers crossed.
Papi Chulo, Mexican Maro to his friends.
Nice, like it.
Mark Maro, not whatever.
I know what you meant.
Let me check the microphone.
Dream Stage Entertainment sent WWF a proposal this week. The gist of it seems to be, and this is wonderful future echo for something that is occurring 20 years later. Dream Stage Entertainment want to become almost a WWF Japan. And ooh. Part of this proposal includes having WWF do regular tours and TV tapings in Japan, have an exclusive roster with Dream Stage Entertainment, then base and almost rebrand themselves as WWF Japan. And I find this fascinating when you consider that right now you've got Triple H heading up like a big push to get into Japan when they were offered it on a silver platter 20 years ago.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of differences between the Japanese wrestling scene now and back then, but Bruce Pritchard's thing, and these are the same comments we had months ago last time it was brought up, Bruce Pritchard's on the Conrad show was talking about how it would happen whenever some company in Japan or someone else would go, hey, why don't we do this with our roster and your roster and split, and they always go, we can do this without you. When we go there, the crowds don't want to see DSE versus WWE. They want to see our product. So why would we need you? There's no point doing it. It is fascinating to think that it would give us, you know, The Rock versus Marco Krokop or whatever, but it's neither here nor there. The DSE would later on, obviously right now they're doing Pride, and Pride right now is bigger than Pokemon for lots of people in Japan. It's huge. It's actually having a negative impact on the wrestling scene, according to wrestlers. So I can see why they'd want to do business with them. But it's like, oh, wait, you don't need us. Well, why would we? We'll do that Hogan thing where we wait until you're on your ass, then come do it and save you. But they would later do, I believe Wrestle 1 was them. And that was kind of them doing WWE style, but it wouldn't do, that only lasted like 5 shows or 6 shows. And then Hustle would be really out there in terms of, have you seen any Hustle, Tom?
I've caught a little bit of Hustle. And yeah. I was very intrigued by the product. It felt very sports entertainment-y.
Very, very. They had Riki Chosu team up with Rikishi Fatu just because their names were similar.
That's like when I was playing FIFA Road to World Cup 98 on the PS1 and I couldn't afford Ronaldo, so I bought Redondo.
Hey, you're not here to be smirched the good name of Redondo.
He was a...
Who's that entering the impact zone? And also, they would have Kevin Randleman show up of Pride, but because the way his name's put down, they call him Kevin Randleman. Like Mega Man. Like that's like
he Randleman, he has the power of Randles.
Yeah. By day, he's mild-mannered Kevin Randle, and then he, you know, goes to a phone booth, comes out as Kevin Randleman.
Oh no, he's on the boss select screen for Mega Man. Randleman. John. You shout Steph. I shout John. Steph. John.
John. Steph.
John. Steph or John, can you make Randleman? Thank you.
Steph, can you beat Randleman? Thank you.
Steph, I don't know how to make the dog work.
The dog work.
You know what I mean, though?
That was an ongoing joke in our house because there's some YouTube thing they watched and it was some jokey guy going, Mega Man's here along with this mega dog. And I'd say, the dog's name is Rush. It's always been Rush. What do you mean mega dog?
I prefer so mega dog.
It's not. Yeah, we just sat around like just chilling. And so I was like, hey, you know who my favorite Mega Man character is? What? Mega dog. I'm like, it's Rush. It's Rush.
Please welcome to the stage, Prog Rock's very own, Megadog. Is there not a Rush tribute band called Megadog?
Megadog.
That should be a thing. It should be a thing. Anyway, one more bit of news.
God.
And then we move on to SmackDown, because there's a lot going on in the world at the moment.
Yeah, man.
Right, good news, mate. 17th of January... Which is it, what's the year of our Lord day for this episode of SmackDown?
13th of January.
17th of January, Davey Boy Smith is scheduled to return. Yeah, boy!
Oh, get it, where's he been?
No idea. He's just been away.
In an alley.
He's just been having a little sit down. Congratulations on going into the Hall of Fame, by the way, British Bulldog. We are here to induct the British Bulldog, should he so require it.
Oh, God. I hate the amount of people that have been at us going, isn't this great? Because I'm like, yeah, thanks, guys. Last thing we need is Davey Boy Smith Jr. showing up. I heard what you said about me, Dad.
No, listen. It's fine. Junior, it's fine. We were just taking the piss out of your dad when he was wearing jeans. The rest of the time, yeah. He was all right.
When he was a bad dog.
When he was a bad dog. When he was a bad, sweaty red dog.
When he was old yeller, like the back of his pants.
There is something wonderful about potentially the Hall of Fame being moved to SummerSlam and Bulldog being inducted over SummerSlam weekend. That feels nice.
Yeah, should move it to SummerSlam 92. Just call the event SummerSlam 92 and just go, well, no one's here. We can do what we want.
Just get Bret Hart on the podium to give the speech on behalf of Bulldog. Just because Bulldog's got up there and gone, oh, I've forgotten. Bret, you do it.
Bret somehow still attacked by a fan in an empty arena. Yeah.
Well, anyway.
That sounds like good news. Let's move on to SmackDown, shall we, Tom?
Let's move on to SmackDown.
Dramatic recap from all the important bits of Raw. Actually, I've noticed back in some of these previous podcasts, I don't do a very good job of explaining what's happening in front of people, so setting the scene, so I'll be hopefully a bit more elaborate in my explanation. So we start off the show with a dramatic recap from all the bomb bits of Raw, starting with The Rock holding a mutiny with the entire roster around the ring, ready to walk out on the candy asses of Triple H and Stephanie McMahon Helmsley. We have nothing to lose but our chains, comrades, says Rock. The Rock, first of all, demands Mick Foley get reinstated. And Triple H has no choice but to obligate this. And Mick Foley is back in action. Back in action, to be honest with you. And The Rock also wants a main event of all of DX versus the Acolytes and The Rock and Sock tonight. Oh, The Rock does care. He'll just never talk about it or sell it in any interview. Recap of that main event sees DX walk out on Triple H as he's left to fend for himself. Want to bet if it's a setup all along, Tom?
It was a setup. I wonder if it is a setup all along. Again.
Oh. And we skip ahead, though. Somehow Mankind gets pedigreed through the announce table, even with all of DX leaving Triple H. Not sure what happened there. And then getting pinned in the ring with another pedigree. Apparently everyone else decided to self-isolate. However, Mankind recovers after getting pinned and brawls with Triple H after the bell. Bleeds a lot. Often seen that on WF. And no selling everything Triple H throws at him, with Triple H assigned to leg it instead, while Cole yells, "Mankind has started a war with Triple H." Ooh, what can that mean? Anyway, witty woo, witty woo, witty woo intro, with Undertaker to his friends, still in the intro somehow.
He's still technically a guy on the roster.
We just won't be seeing or hearing about him.
No, never again.
The Lesnar of 2000. And we are in Chicago, Illinois. Should be Illinois, but whatever. Triple H and Steph, with three H's on the end of her name, walk to the ring, and Stephanie can't even get a sentence out before something small is thrown at her from the crowd and misses. And God, they are booing them hard tonight. Just showing up existing, they hate. Stephanie McMahon clarifies no one is leaving the WWF and doesn't know why anyone would ever want to leave. Any wrestler can come and talk to them whenever they have an issue. And the smart crowd chants, "What about Sean Stasiak?" And "Meat, meat, we want meat." But they carry on at this pre-edited show. Triple H's hit... That was a joke, by the way. Triple H is here to apologise. Not to the fans, of course. But no, not even the wrestlers either. Because Triple H has sacrificed everything for them. No. He is here to apologise to DX. They've made mistakes. And Triple H is showing them tough love. And they gave it back to him on Monday. So tonight, as a make good, it's the New Age Outlaws versus Bradshaw. No DQ, and if Rook interferes, they lose their title shot at Rumble. Match 2, the New Age Outlaws versus Farouk in blah, 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 blah. You got it. And X-Pac, who's been like a brother to him, a kid, a 1-2-3 kid, if you will. So tonight, he's going to team up with Triple H to take on Big Show and The Rock in the main event. As for Mick Foley, Triple H reminds him he pinned him on Raw. So at Rumble, he's just going to stay in New York City with his blood. And he continues adding descriptions of what he's going to do to him. He's going to bake him in a cake. He's going to put him on 30 for 40 minutes. And Stephanie McMahon, it cuts to her. And God, she's just grinning. And she's really digging this. She's like, it's like David Cronenberg's crash. She's like, yeah, then what are we going to do? And then I'm going to cover him in flour and aim for the wet spot. Yeah. Triple H challenges Mick to come out now and settle things. The start of the show. We don't even need to wait for the Rumble, he says, Tom, and that always works. Oh, music plays, and here comes good old Midian Kind.
Oh, this was fun to see.
It is. It's a very well-done character, especially when he immediately gets on his knees and apologises to the greatest wrestler he's ever met or been in the ring with, guest producer Triple H. And along with
cut to a library where Triple H is on a laptop going, "They let me write this bit."
Along with Jerry Lawler insisting that's the real Mankind, going, "I know that voice anywhere." And then legitimate Mick Foley, thank you, shows up, still covered in the blood from Raw, possibly because the show is still thinking about that match, or possibly because he's too tight to get his shirt cleaned, we don't know. Loud Mick Foley chants, so it's good that this is angles working. And he, great speech here. "What more do you want from me? You take my job, you make this idiot imitate me, and in what should have been a great moment on Raw when I returned, you pinned me and ruined my shirt." He wonders about what is Mankind. He's a great author, he's a tough SOB, he's a hell of a fighter. But it saddens him to see after the beating Triple H gave him on Raw, he is not ready to wrestle him at the Rumble. Cut to Triple H with his big poo-eating grin. "You are the game. You are the best in the biz. Mankind is nothing more than a beaten-up, pathetic fool. But I think the WWF fans deserve a substitute, and I'm going to name him right now." And the crowd's like, "Oh, could it be The Rock?" Takes a few steps forwards, removes his mask, and I think you know the guy removes his shirt. Cactus Jack, bang, bang. Crowd, banana. Median Kind, worried. Triple H, brown pants. Foley, pounding away on Triple H. Median Kind stops him with a chair, allowing Triple H to peg it. Mick Foley, sorry, as Cactus Jack, no-sells it. Turns around dramatically. Crowd cheers that. Triple H watches from the ramp as Median Kind takes a pounding. He gets beaten up on the outside, gets the Cactus elbow with a chair. Cactus gets the mic. You're going to make me bleed at the Rumble? Well, it's not the first time. It's not going to be the last time. And I've got a lot of blood to bleed. Bang, bang. Fantastic. Like, we should just end the podcast there, all the silly bugger news we started at the start of the show, because this is one of the best things of the year. It's one of the best things I remember as a kid. One of the greatest Mark Up moments that I rewound and watched. Tom, talk.
Can I say something?
Nah.
Okay, carry on then.
No, go on, Tom, please. I'm sorry, I got so caught up in that.
What was lovely is you genuinely got so caught up in that, and I was like, please don't just move on to the next segment, because I would quite like to talk about this too.
I'm going to sit down here quietly. You talk for a bit.
First of all, Alex was watching the opening bit, the opening bit for the very start of the show, and Alex made quite a funny comment. She's very good like that, is my good lady. She said, Mick Foley looks like Dave Grohl if he was an accountant.
Wow.
I like that. And there is some dirty truth to it.
Yeah, I can see that.
Whilst this is split into two for me, this is a very long Triple H admin monologue. And these are these are very, very prominent throughout most of Triple H's career, are they not?
Absolutely. They're popping up more and more. Like the spots on his back.
Oh, because he's done a roid. He might not have done. I just want to put that out there. Long, long, rambly Triple H bit. But you forgive that on this occasion, because this is where we get one of the coolest returns I think the company has ever known. Because it was a surprise, and it wasn't like another person coming in. It was the same guy changing gimmick. But WWF was so good in cluing up, because obviously Cactus Jack has been a part of the WWF before, but it was many years before this. And they did such a lovely, subtle job of reminding the audience who and what Cactus Jack was through little videos about Mankind's career. That when Mankind took off the mask and whipped off the shirt, and the Cactus Jack wanted t-shirt was underneath, everybody was there, immediately there. And immediately it became a very viable threat to Triple H. And I loved it, as you did, mate. Wasn't it a segment and a half?
Yes, it was, Tom. Yes, it was.
It was the time.
And this is also the last time we saw Cactus Jack officially, well, more on that later on, we'll get clips of him to hype him up, but officially the last time we saw him was when Cactus Jack and Terry Funk lost the tag titles in the cage match. Was it the day after WrestleMania? I think it was. And they lost quite badly, and that's the New Age Outlaws then joined DX, quite an important episode of Raw. But then, in a very lovely bit of, this is what made Mick Foley so effing great. While they're lowering the cage and fans are leaving, they're like, don't worry, folks, still to come, Stone Cold Steve Austin. And as they're beaten and battered, they're having to hear, Stone Austin, Austin. So the next week, Foley went, well, you saw me beat down and you shouted for somebody else's name. And he goes, oh, well, I don't really feel appreciated by you that much. And you think it's going to be a long time since you see Cactus Jack again. I remember the people in the crowd went, Cactus, Cactus. And he went, no. You too little, too late, folks.
Oh,
and then wow. He would become Dude Love as the mystery opponent, and that's that whole lovely feud. And that was the last proper time we saw Cactus Jack. So it's, yeah. God, how good was this?
It was amazing. Ah. It was absolutely. Sorry. When they nail stuff, they nail it. They really, really do.
Also helped, Tom, by, and as I think we say this every week, because Triple H becomes synonymous later on with being a camera whore, God, his reactions. Ha, ha, ha. I beat mankind. Ha, ha, ha. I'm grinning like a Cheshire cat. He, he, he. No match at Rumble for me. Hoo, hoo, hoo. I'm so smart. Ha, ha, ha. Cactus Jack. He freaks out. He's like, no, 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 no. That long blonde hair and the weird looking face he's got makes him look like the Peyton from Ghostbusters 2. Just freaking out. Not happy with this. And you're like, even if you know who Cactus Jack is, you're like, oh, Triple H is in deep, deep trouble.
It's so
I can't wait
good.
To give this company my money.
Triple H just sells it like the biggest threat to his career has just turned up. And really, like, this is like with wrestling, this is where you truly suspend your disbelief for moments like this. But if you suspend it, you have the most amazing time because you see a man who is suddenly terrified of what is coming towards him. You are seeing a man who is terrified of all of a sudden he knows he has pushed this hardcore legend too far and he's gone deep, deep into his brain and pulled out the darkest possible side of him. And he sells it like he knows he done messed up. It's incredible. Incredible work by all the players here.
And there is one negative. No more Midian kind.
Oh, I know.
There goes my hero.
Press Mick F Foley. For Midian kind.
Dave Grohl, if he did accounting. So, moving on, if we can, to the next bit. The New Age Outlaws are here. And Road Dogg does a nice bit where I think he's just trying to mix it up. He's going for a little rhyme and goes this way and that way and ends. Of course, if you don't like that, you can. Crowd, suck it, Road Dogg. No, not yet. That's Billy's part. Billy Gunn laughing his ass off.
I think they're trying to mix up their shtick because they're very aware that they're heels and they're getting...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pops. And they need to make it up.
But then they do stuff like this, which is even better than their usual shtick.
It was much better. I think that they would end up being much lazier with it when Road Dogg would go, oh, we're going to kick that shiznit doggy style with all your mamas. That's quite a lazy little addition, but I guess it heals it.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for the money. Anyway, they're taking on Bradshaw, who just looks chubby, if I'm being honest.
Oh, he's a chonky, isn't he? He's a chonky boy this week.
Here he comes. Starts the show by throwing powder in the Road Dogg's face. It's a bacon powder, we cannot verify. Billy Gunn takes a header over the ring steps to start this because fat equals power in WWF. Bradshaw tries for a powerbomb on Gunn on the ring steps, but Road Dogg chair shots him to regain the momentum. Billy goes for the stinger splash because he has to be ripping off WCW finishers. However, Bradshaw catches him, but before he can slam him down, Road Dogg twats him. And both him and Gunn smother him for the pin. Nice and simple. Bradshaw looks good and fat, and the Age Outlaws beat him, as is what should be happening in a handicap match, to be honest with you. Tom, your thoughts?
I liked it. I enjoyed it. Just a cheap and cheerful hardcore knockabout as we build towards the APA versus the NAO at the Royal Rumble. Did the job, and they'll be back out again later tonight, and they'll do the same with Farouk. So it's a rinse and repeat formulae. It seems to work quite well.
Yeah. Speaking of good formula, here's The Rock and Coach backstage.
This is a debut for The Coach.
It's, no, we've had him before, but he got all of three words out before The Rock took the microphone and did all the promo.
Here's
a proper introduction, though. You are right. Sorry to be anal.
No, don't be. Please do be anal.
It's weird because The Rock changes up like the Road Dogg. Instead of just dominating the entire interview, maybe you realise Mick Foley's comments about him were right, he actually plays along with Coach. It's nice. He goes, The Rock has four words. No, I've written there. Blah, blah. He goes, who are you? And I was, well, if it matters, I'm Jonathan Coachman. Jonathan, that's interesting. Welcome to WWF and The Rock Show SmackDown. Thanks. They call me The Coach for short. Coach? Coach is in Coach for the girls' little league team? And he carries on like that. And because it was great, because Coach would realize his character where he's just completely oblivious. Like, yeah, Rock, it's the, you know, answer the questions. He actually leads him and goes, so how did you get the nickname, Coach? Well, it's a funny story, actually. It doesn't matter. It's like that's... Rock's, I won't say been lazy, but it's just been like every other segment's been, hello, it's The Rock. Rock, how are you doing? What time is it? It does it like straight, goes straight for it. But if you lead them down that path, it's way funnier and way more amusing, especially when Coach has already made himself look like a giant nerd in the vein of Kevin Kelly. So this was nice, and we get many, many more segments between one of the best tag teams on the roster, The Rock and Coach.
Oh, just absolutely golden. There was something wonderful about watching The Rock at work here. It's just every time he's... I think we talked about it a few times on the podcast, but there is something special about Dwayne Johnson at this point in his career where he is just this stoic arsehole and is beloved by everybody and is the nicest man on the planet. But here he is, just barely cracking a smile, sunglasses on indoors, but the crowd are going crazy for him.
Yeah. I mean, much prefer them when they're in the ring, because these are something to talk about with the crowd reactions, but, yeah, moving on. Too Cool and Rikishi are heading to the ring, as this his ass is brought to you by WWF Volume 4, which you've already plugged last week. Western Union, a good way to send money. And phonefree.com, free long distance calls over the internet. It'll never last.
No chance.
Yeah. And they're taking on the Hollies. So we get a recap of Raw with Hardcore Holly pinning China in a tag match due to Jericho refusing to tag in. Hey, Holly's pinned both of them now. Ah, oh, we've got some sort of three-way coming up that people will bitch about for years to come. And they're teaming with Al Snow tonight in a six-man tag. And Lawler gets a good line and goes, I used to think Al Snow was a pain in the neck, but now I have an even lower opinion of him. Who does everybody hate? Al! And we have Grandmaster Sexay working well with Crash and Hardcore Holly with this big bumping style, where they're trying really hard here compared to the class of 99. It's not going to last for long, mate. Big bumping style taking over to Scotty Too Hotty, who tags in, and we get the debut of SmackDown of the Bulldog into the Worm combo. That became the trademark way of setting up the Worm, and it became the point where people, you hit the Bulldog, people go, oh, now we know what's happening.
Yeah. You
know? And now it's, he does the Bulldogs on the floor, and then he does the face. So, again, fine-tune their act week after week. Hot tag to Rikishi, who murders everybody before settling on Crash Holly to pin because he bounces a foot off the canvas at the Rikishi driver.
It's a big old jump, doesn't he? It was incredible.
He does. All of those bouncy rings of the Year of Our Lord 2000. And it's great for guys like Crash Holly because he just flies off into the sun like Kyle kicking his brother. Al Snow then interrupts the Too Cool dance to attack the Hollies and complains about how he can't team with anybody because he lost last week teaming with the Duds and Mankind hates him because he's a get. They wait for him to skedaddle and then resume dancing.
Is there something about Al Snow? I quite like this Al Snow shtick at the moment, which is Al Snow hating tag teams and just picking on them every time he loses.
Yeah, I think everybody hates him, and it's great.
Yeah,
because now
it's
2020, and people really hate him. It's an act that's aged so well.
It's a dream.
Yeah. Also, I use the word skedaddle there. Tom, what oldie words do you like? Because you exude old word energy to me.
Old wordy words I like. I'm a big fan, and I use it quite a bit, of shenanigans. Shenanigans is a great word. Love hullabaloo, which is a really nice word to say as well. I also like penny farthing. Don't get a chance to use it very much, but penny farthing is a nice one.
The bicycle.
But yeah, it's the big bicycle with the big old wheel. But I'm a big fan of those particular words stand out to me. What about you, sir?
I'm fond of nincompoop.
Ah, nice. Nincompoop is a good word. It's a strong word.
Yeah, and when that's not available, I like to use malarkey.
Oh, malarkey's great. Malarkey's good fun.
And if you're listening to this podcast, you should let us know what oldie words you like to use.
Hit us with some oldie wordy new word news. Oldie worldy words.
That is a bugger to say. Go on, one more time.
I'm not even drunk. Oldie worldy words. Hit us with some.
Yeah. Surprisingly, we then get footage from IWA Japan, known as Japan in the top left corner. And it's all amazing looking. It's the visceral, disgusting clips of barbed wire and blood, and even has tracking footage at the bottom. So they must have purchased a tape from the back pages of Power Slam magazine.
I wrote in my notes here, and then I stopped myself. I wrote in my notes, Cactus Jack promos are a great idea. How clever and quick thinking they were to get videos from Japan, edit them down, and put a Michael Cole voiceover over the top in the event that Cactus Jack would make a return on this particular episode of SmackDown. But then I remembered that we've just watched a return, which basically features a man taking a shirt off and taking a mask off. So suspension of disbelief is very much required during the Cactus Jack era of SmackDown.
Yeah, how do you know Cactus Jack was going to be here? You never see him and Mankind in the same place at the same time.
There was that one video on Raw once.
On Monday, Big Show and Test teamed up to take on the mighty team of Bossman and Albert. Show and Test's tag team name, Two Wrongs Making a Right.
How the mighty have fallen, Big Show and Test.
Yeah. Look at the push you could have had, said Big Show and Test backstage.
Is it they like the we are the Triple H squashed society. We are the Hunter Demotion Society.
We're the last bottle of condiment that you'll never use. But you keep us just in case you have guests who are posh.
The last bottle of condiment you'll ever use.
You are that gimmick, like bacon cheese you got for Christmas off your nan. Looks disgusting, but sometimes you can't be arsed to go to the shops.
This is the great song we're making, mate.
Yes, I lost my calling as a twaddle expert. This leads to Test versus Gangrel, a battle of two guys who suck for a living. Gangrel is, I guess, heel, as he sends Test to the outside, and his main squeeze, Luna, gives him the business. The ref's not looking. But Test has a lot of anger, because he sees Gangrel and realises that he spent full money on Castlevania 64. And he remembers that Konami re-released it less than a year later, and it still wasn't very good even then. So there's lots of pounding the poor vampire here. Luna yanks the referee out, so Test brings her in the ring for a spanking. But the referee stops it for some reason, don't know why. Test delivers the pump handle slam on her, then nails Gangrel with the big effing elbow. Crowd is happy as Test looks cool and he's hitting women.
They do make out on commentary like this is Test taking out his frustration with bloody women on Luna. They kind of make that point several times. Like, well, Test has had a terrible time with women at the moment. You know, it's with his wife leaving him. So, of course, it's justified to give Luna a pump handle power slam. Steph put Test in a match he didn't like last week, so of course he's justified giving Luna a pump handle power slam. Gah, hippity hoppity, you know the rest.
Backstage, China apologises to Chris Jericho, and Jericho was sceptical at first, but then he says, well, you know, I'm prepared to let bygones be bygones. They are still both the IC champion. Don't think about it. But Jericho is a lot more human in the segment and accepts it. And him and China look like they could be a proper team moving forward. Oh, isn't that nice, Tom?
It's lovely. I'm hoping they will get on. I like this little bit backstage where we had Jericho and China next to a forklift. You know, China stood next to a unit great at lifting items up beyond their highs without assistance.
Oh,
and a forklift!
Take a bow, Tom.
Thank you. Thank you. Tip your waiters. Thank you. I still got it. Even though I got Voldemort, I've still got it.
That's good on your tombstone, Tom.
Yes, it is, mate. Along with, I told you I was ill.
The next match is the Hardys, with their manager hardly dressed, enter the ring for, oh, goody, more of the Bossman Albert team. Good, it's been 2 minutes since I last mentioned them. And this is Matt Hardy's return to action after his brother landed on his head. Good week to return to wrestling for Matt. Of note, Albert's cool thrust. I knew I'd mess it up. Throat thrusts. That was a little thing out there.
Throat.
His punches. His shots.
They are throat thrusts, though.
Yes.
Thrust.
His strikes.
To the throat.
Thrush. Crowd chants for Terry. So, you know, as Albert delivers a funky talk show rat into a neck breaker as he's trying to get over. Crowd are like, nah, we're just going to stare at the tits, sorry. So boss man realises the crowd are chatting for her too much, so he tries kidnapping Terry.
Yeah, like he made a vain, weird attempt to kidnap a woman mid-match.
Yeah. He knows what's getting the audience's attention, so he takes her and look at his track record. Maybe he's going to turn her into a pie. Anyway, some stuff happens. Albert accidentally splashes Bossman in the corner, so they argue. And then Jeff gets the lucky schoolboy. And this is called a huge win by Michael Cole over the team of Prince Albert and Big Bossman. Bossman then Gandraj attacks both Hardys and brawls with Albert until Sergeant Slaughter and the rest of the scabs show up to break it up.
We have dissension in the ranks between Bossman and Albert, which I know about you, mate, but I am clamouring for that Bossman-Albert rivalry.
Right. I mean, I can't remember if they had a feud after this, because why would I remember this thing? I can barely remember GCSE French. I'm sure as hell not going to remember the Albert-Bossman feud, but...
I believe they had a very brief dance. Very brief before Bull Buchanan was making an appearance.
Right. I remember Bull.
I will remember Bull. Will you remember me?
Backstage. We get something even dafter than Tom Campbell's little song. It's Lillian Garcia interviewing Big Show. And they're doing the look how big Big Show is, look how small Lillian is camera shot, with Lillian Garcia looking like she's halfway down a manhole with her arm up in the air, barely getting the Big Show's tit. It is insane. They should have had her on the forklift. Anyway, Big Show is mad that he hasn't had a rematch. He's the only guy to not receive a rematch for the WWF title. He also says there's no way The Rock is winning the Rumble. You think he can eliminate me? Oh, perish the thought, eh, Tom?
Oh, imagine such a thing happening.
Right. He also takes issue with The Rock calling him a jabroni. Well, I mean, if it looks like a jabroni, looks like a jabroni.
Big Show is not a jabroni, and we are seeing another heel turn on the horizon. So what I want to do, very briefly... with you and I as the hive mind, Math, is calculate the amount of heel turns we've had from the Big Show so far. So, in the history of SmackDown, not the history of forever. From the inception of SmackDown to now, because that is all that we think about ever. So,
of course,
from the start of SmackDown, bang, heel.
Yeah, with Undertaker.
Heel with Undertaker. Yeah. He turned face... when he feuded with the Bossman. And
yeah, was that how it happened?
Champion? Was there a heel turn? Was there a face turn before then?
I'm trying to think why Big Show would have been face, but nothing's jumping out at me. No, I think, was it him leaving The Undertaker that made him face?
Well, The Undertaker left.
Yeah, So he just, it was just like, oh, here's the Big Show. He was only a bad guy when he was with Big, with Undertaker.
I'm a friendly man. He started beating up referees. Now.
Ho ho ho, friendly giant. Giant.
Okay, so we're gonna go heel, then face around October, November time, we reckon, in time to become the WWF champion. And now we're looking at a heel turn in January. So three.
Is it a heel if you just don't like The Rock calling you a jabroni?
It was, oh, I don't know. I'm not saying that he's turned now, but I'm saying that there is the seeds planted of a heel turn.
Ooh,
because we are coming up to the, and I think it happens on Raw next week or the week after, the infamous whiny bitch promo from The Big Show. CM Punk had the pipe bomb promo, as we all know. You had Stone Cold Steve Austin in 96 deliver his infamous Austin 316 speech. You had Ultimate Warrior tearing down the cockpit doors and shoving the plane into a nosedive ahead of WrestleMania 6. And you had The Big Show standing in front of a Raw crowd in 2000 saying, "Why do you boo me? What's changed?"
I thought you were saying the infamous promo where he goes, "Has anyone seen me, Dad?"
Oh, no. What? Well, no, not
he went
now.
For a carton of cigarettes in 1983 and not seen him since.
Oh, no, no. Why do you boo me? What's changed? Is like, could you imagine Roman Reigns coming out? And as much as people love to hate on Roman Reigns, could you imagine him that night after beating The Undertaker with all those boos raining down? Imagine if he'd gone, "Why are you booing me? What's changed?" Instead, he took the right ground and just went, "This is my yard now. See you later." And owned it. But Big Show is a right wuss coming up. So he'll turn on the cards.
I can't wait for it.
Cannot wait.
CM Punk had the pipe bomb. We've got Big Show's dud.
Big Show's smoke bomb.
Speaking of smoke bombs, backstage China talks.
Big Show's
Tory.
Bath bomb. Because it's very sensitive.
China starts talking with a smelly butt Tory. China says there's a problem, but they can fix it. Ooh, but we'll have to wait until after this match to see what the problem is. Whoa. And it is Kurt Angle and Steve Blackman, who are inexplicably friends again. And even commentary has to mention, why is this? Well, doesn't matter. They're taking on Edge and Christian. And it's a fine match with nothing worth mentioning in great detail. Until Michael Cole mentions that Edge's sister is marrying Val Venus. So Edge and Venus will then be brother and sister, causing Lawler to go, "No, they'll be brothers-in-law, you idiot." Well justified leaving that in the final edit, by the way.
Take a bow, Michael Cole.
And then, a minute later, Val Venus shows up on the Titantron, or Ovaltron as they call it, which I will never say, and to show he has Blackman sticks. And Steve Blackman is so confused by the fact apparently that we're going into a time hole and they're still feuding. And Val Venus explains he didn't want Blackman using these on his new brother-in-law. And while he's still confused over that, Edge and Christian get the top rope dropkick in the jackknife pin for the win.
Lovely.
This match seemed to exist just to let people know that Val Venus and Edge are now technically family.
Yeah, and I don't know whether we're going to do anything with it other than just acknowledge it on television.
Yeah.
We will see.
And also for Steve Blackman to get pinned again. But Kurt Angle is still undefeated. Backstage, China acts, and I've typed in here in brackets, "No." And as she tells Tori that Jericho keeps on going on and on about this fantasy he has for Tori wearing a flight attendant's uniform with no underwear. And Tori is traumatized again by hearing these disgusting, visceral things that China is telling her while essentially wearing a bra and pants with high heels. And she goes off to do what she does every time someone comes up to her and tells her that they want to do the sex with her, and that's tell Kane.
Is it not China. A bit grim that wrestlers are using Tori's post-traumatic stress disorders the same way that you'd use Pikachu's Thundershock?
They're treating her like a kid's bath toy. Wind them up and watch them gone.
Oh, it's just... It's so tone deaf. It really is.
Well, I was talking to The Rock earlier, and he says that because he's half black, half Samoan, he doesn't know... Wait, what? What do you mean The Rock's left?
He doesn't know whether to eat the bank or have sex with Tori.
Meanwhile, in Cactus Jack history, in great moments in Cactus history, Cactus drops the elbow into the dumpster with a singles match with Terry Funk, sorry, Chainsaw Charlie, followed by the New Age Outlaws sending them off the edge.
Oh, that was a moment, that was.
It was. Just like Nitro's ratings in the year 2000.
Tough time.
New Age Outlaws versus Farouk. And here we go. Unsurprisingly, Ron tries to sneak attack during the intro, which is when they're at the most vulnerable. We've already seen this match, so it doesn't last long. So the New Age Outlaws start beating him. They beat him a bit, and then they pin him. Nothing too sophisticated here. No reason to prolong it. And then Fatty Bradshaw shows up with a steel pipe to chase them both off. Yeah, simple. And backstage, Triple H congratulates the New Age Outlaws, but wonders aloud where X-Pac is. Dissension X rears its ugly head once again. And then we get the other tag match of the evening, Godfather and D'Lo Brown versus the Headbangers in the battle of who will be forgotten about more by February 2000. And to add to this, Taz shows up in the intro with the mood is about to change. And don't worry, you will also be forgotten about by the time February 2000 kicks along, mate. No one will be left spared. And Godfather asks before the match starts, what is going on with the Headbangers' dress sense? Mosh says they're just mad because they're dressed better than their trolls, meaning the hoes. And can't disagree with that. And it also made me pay more attention to Mosh's clothing than I would normally. He's wearing a big smiley face on white trunks. That's Chaz's dress sense. He's dressed like Chaz. I never realised that he had that little ode to his previous gimmick. So, keeping that in mind, if Mick Foley wasn't able to make the Rumble match as scheduled, they could have gone with Mosh going, well, I may not be ready for the match with you after Raw, but these fans deserve a substitute. I think you know the guy, and just like cleanse his face for a bit and wait a few minutes. Like, wait a second, Triple H. And then, yeah, Chaz's music starts playing. He gives him the burning hammer. And this is going nowhere.
Headbangers!
Yay. And all I've written down is some action happens, but the crowd's only into the hose. So Godfather finishes.
So Bossman turns up and tries to kidnap all the hoes. Bossman, heat stealer.
He's got a minivan.
That's a lot of pies coming out of that minivan. I like maybe they missed a trick with Big Boss, but obviously he cooked Al Snow's dog. And you suggested earlier on that he was going to steal Terry and put her in a pie. They could have made him Sweeney Todd.
I like it. Yeah.
Sweeney Trailer, the demon.
But I think
Boss Man of Fleet Street.
They missed a beat by not having him as the reason why so and so had left the company. Like, hey, has anyone seen Sean Stasiak? And then just cuts to Big Boss Man eating a pasty. Going, no.
A pasty, but with Sean Stasiak's hot pink pants wrapped around it, like it's the package.
Oh, I love this meat and gravy.
Yes, this meat's pasty. It's like we've eaten him and he's in our stomachs. Simpsons reference available on Disney Plus next week.
Yeah.
Well, this week as it is now.
Oh, well done, yeah.
A question for you. You know Disney Plus?
Oh, go on. Yeah.
Do you have to pay annually or can you pay monthly? Because I've looked online and it's only telling me to pay £50 to Disney right now.
That's just how they say hello.
Oh, Disney. Is it really? Welcome. Yeah. Hello, I'm Mickey Mouse. Please give me £50 for entertainment. It's very accurate, actually.
Yeah, but it's only £20 if you do Disneyland Plus at Paris.
Do I get a fast track so I can watch The Mandalorian before everybody else?
Yeah, but the plus side, you are dying, so you'll get the front.
Yeah, they should let me go at the front.
To see, I believe it was PWE Insider suggested that for this year's WrestleMania, they should have some Make-A-Wish kids at ringside.
Oh.
Yeah, it got a positive response online.
Yeah, I can imagine it did. Oh, Christ. PW Insider, what are you doing, man?
Anyway, shoo. This is because it's current events. That's horrible.
We should be talking about the multi-venued WrestleMania two-day extravaganza here, because you're hearing about that everywhere else. We're talking about the past.
Backstage, Coachman is interviewing the show and The Rock, even though I feel we've already got the point across with the previous interviews, but I think this episode was running short for some reason. So they're interviewing together, and Big Show stops Rock from talking straight away and says, "Hey, I just want you to stay on the apron and stay out of my way," and then leaves, just to further the they don't like each other thing. And then we get another Cactus Jack clip, and it's a funny one, this, because I didn't even know this, and somehow we've missed it as well. I think it was in between SmackDowns. He returned, random as hell, one time on Raw 99 against Midian and Viscera in a handicap match.
Oh, he didn't even have a... He threw beach balls at him, didn't they?
I believe so, yes. And he doesn't even have a Cactus Jack shirt on. It's very weird. And I'm like, I wonder who was right. Oh, that's right, that Russo chap who loved nothing more than bringing up old gimmicks. So
that was, I remember that happening. I do remember that happening. It was like for one, Shawn Michaels was the commissioner, and he made it for one night only, Cactus Jack versus Midian and Viscera in a hardcore match, and he just trousers them.
Yeah. And also, they offered him $3,000 to lose to Jeff Jarrett on Nitro.
Because Bruno Sammartino and Luthez and Ed Strangler Lewis have taken them up on it.
Do you know how much livestock you could buy for $3,000? Hey, was Gorgeous Georgian available? Like, I can't believe... Bruno, out of nowhere, out of the... Whatever he's been doing all this time to wrestle Jeff Jarrett on Nitro.
Bro,
it's amazing.
Hear me out,
it's amazing.
Bro. Hear me out, bro. You're going to go out on Nitro. You're going to lose to Jeff Jarrett, bro. You're going to be amazing. You might even make a comeback, bro. You got to lose to Jarrett.
Yeah, you'll do that, you know. Then Gottenschmidt will come out. You know, Dick the Bruiser will hold, break up the fight. You know, what the
if there was ever any doubt that Vince Russo had a bulbous bonk on for Jeff Jarrett, there is your proof right there.
A wrestler who started his career before electricity to come out on Nitro. I love it. John, can you please Photoshop what Bruno versus... Monday Night Bruno would look like.
Oh, man.
Because I can't even... I don't think you could do that and make it look good. I literally can't imagine this.
I reckon he could. Monday Night Bruno, John. Leave it with you.
Anyway, Kane versus Jericho. Chris Jericho comes down to the ring and he's doing his best to inform Kane that, no, it's a setup. China's a filthy liar. But he's Jericho. So he does not do a good job of explaining... Because he tries to go, look, Kane, look, I'm only into pretty girls. No, wait. No, I mean, I'm not saying that she's not that ugly. No, Kane. And for some reason, Kane just isn't very accepting of this explanation, so decides to just destroy Jericho for most of it. Until Kane, mad with anger, attempts a running clothesline on the outside off the ring steps and just hits absolutely nothing. God, it's crazy to see the stuff Kane was doing in 2000 when he was motivated and had healthy legs. And also, a little note, the people who pay attention to stuff like this, way too close, like myself, Lawler recited some of Jericho's lines at the start and said, and even said, ah, ha, ha, you must be retarded to find Tori good-looking, which Jericho did not say, and if he did, they edited it out because it is not Oscar season, retards are bad.
Mm-hmm.
That word is now out of the WF dictionary because it used to be a weekly occurrence. Rock would call Kane the big red retard, but no, that is no longer acceptable. But obviously, look, that line somehow escaped the editors, and it's okay when Lawless says it.
Just shows you that sometimes commentary that is wildly out of time and out of context can accidentally be left in an edit. This happened in 2000. I'm sure it won't happen again.
Chris Jericho able to keep the advantage and gets the walls of Jericho on Kane, but then China and the Cat show up to distract, so Kane powers out and tombstones little Jericho. China, grinning from ear to ear, sends out her version of Dark Link, the Cat, to go and steal Jericho's half of the IC title to make her double IC champion, or maybe just the only IC champ. Oh, whatever, who cares? Moving on. What are your thoughts, Tom, if any?
Kane and Jericho will have some fun matches later in the year.
That is a lie, Tom. Why would you be this bad to the Poor people.
Well, I'll be intrigued when we get there. Maybe that my memory serves me incorrectly, but I quite enjoyed their matches in 2000.
Oh, really? Oh, I thought you were being silly.
I thought I enjoyed them, but I haven't watched them in 20 years. So I'm intrigued to watch them again.
Oh, okay.
I don't think they're late.
Well, I'll let you enjoy them then, because or the memory of them, because I remember them being bloody awful.
Leave the memories alone.
But it does give us, you know, you think this is about coffee?
You think this is about coffee? Yes, that's all it's about.
Yeah.
There is literally nothing else that this is about.
This is about my smelly girlfriend. Stink lines over. Kane doesn't know. Kane's like, why is everybody avoiding her? Because he's got a burnt nose from the fire, so he can't detect the smell.
Oh, Tori smells. Oh, bless her.
Only I have a nose for Tori.
I have a nose for you.
Backstage, X-Pac, surprisingly, is not impressed with Triple H's do-gooden. He says, this is the third time he's at the Wrestle the Big Show. And he's like, I'm not fooling for that again. But Triple H is like, come on, man, you can trust me, you know, the click, woo, suck it, yeah. And X-Pac's like, oh, okay then.
I don't get these DX bits. Like, it's the fact that I'm not even intrigued as to whether it's a setup all along. Like, I know it's going to be a setup all along. But it's just the way they drag it out.
I like the world building they're making. Well, that's not very well said, but the fact that they're setting the fact, like, is there some distrust? Well, we'll just have to keep on watching, Tom.
Okay.
Which I think is the whole thing. It's, you know, it's like, well, after this break, after 1-800-COLLECT, after Uggs, will they still be friends? After the Tiger handheld that Adam bought loads of. And coincidentally, the coronavirus broke out a week later, I'm just saying. Thanks, Machidi.
I might do a Twitch stream of one of those Tiger handhelds. It could be minutes of entertainment.
Yeah. And back to head over heels.
Yes, mate.
Did you get stuck on the game?
I never completed it as a child.
Oh.
So okay. I'm excited. By the time this goes up, I've already begun live streaming head over heels for the Amstrad on my Twitch channel. The Tom Campbell.
Aww.
And I hope you'll come and join me there for shenanigans.
That's nice. I might try and play Shovel Knight because they've added even more DLC. Free DLC, I should add. Amazing. This game came out, 2014, I want to say? And it's been every few months. Oh, we've added another bit of the game.
They just keep on pushing on. I'd like to give some props, by the way, to the people who make Football Manager. I think it's Sega that make Football Manager.
It is now, yes.
In these difficult times, they have done God's work and they have released Football Manager 2020 for free on Steam.
That is a lot of happy dads.
And that is a lot of no work getting done in home offices.
Right.
Watch the country grind to a halt because all the major accountants and work from home financiers are busy trying to get Ebbsfleet United into the Premier League.
To tell you, it's the only game my dad's played that he's done an all-nighter on.
Is it really?
He played it when it was Champ Man. It was maybe in 03-04. And I just came on downstairs, getting ready for school. And he went, what do you want? Are you hungry? You want a snack or something? Why are you coming down for at this hour?
Dadding went, 101. What do you want? Yeah, are you hungry? Are you tired?
Drink? How dare you break my concentration, all this, and disturb this midnight session? I went, Dad, it's 7 a.m. He went, oh no, I've got work.
Amazing.
Oh,
what a guy.
Yeah, what a guy. Speaking of guys, main event time. Triple H gets the microphone after making his light little grand entrance and goes, let me guess who's going to come out. It's going to be Show and Rock. Oh, well. The Rock's going to come out second because he has such a huge ego. So that means coming out first is the man The Rock called a jabroni. And right on cue, Big Show's like, well, I'm a jabroni.
For God's sake. They do no good to the Big Show. They just... I feel like now it's deliberate. They constantly make him just look like a jabroni.
Yeah. Instead of a riff now, it's jabron, jabron, jabron. Yes, it's a big bad jabron tonight.
Jabron tonight.
So Triple H smirks, pats himself on the back and goes, oh, well done, Iago. Big Show takes apart Triple H to begin, but refuses to tag The Rock. And The Rock gives him that big stare. X-Pac gets squished in the corner with Triple H, describes Michael Cole as a DX sandwich with Big Show as the bread. The Rock tags himself in, though, and cleans house with X-Pac taking that huge bump out of the ring he'd also take at Royal Rumble, bless him. But Big Show argues with the referee because of the illegal tag, he claims. So X-Pac is able to twat The Rock with a chair to break up the people's elbow, leaving X-Pac and Triple H to work over The Rock, the two on the roster who are allowed to do so. But Rock gets away and struggles towards the Big Show. Big Show's wanting the tag, wants it like he wants a bacon double cheeseburger, but then takes his hand away at the last second like an owner playing with his dog in the park. And The Rock is so distraught, he walks right into a pedigree to lose 1-2-3. And DX run away, as they do every week. And then Big Show just waddles in and chokeslams The Rock for kicks. What do you think of this, Tom?
It was a very standard SmackDown main event. We're now finding this lovely groove with SmackDown where it is becoming the... where it now feels proper like the B Show. So it's like, let's keep everything ticking over until Raw next week. So a tag team main event is a great way of accomplishing that. Like, nothing is really begun or ended on this show. Just everything just keeps ticking over. And that's what this tag team match does. Keeps it ticking over.
Yeah. Well said. And that's the end of the episode. So, as we usually do, do we even need to do the bit that we remember? Like, you want to skip to how good the Cactus Jack bit was again?
I think on this occasion, we're both going to go, that Cactus Jack, the metamorphosis from Mankind to Cactus Jack, phenomenal. Phenomenal. Great, great wrestling television.
Yeah, if you don't want to watch this entire episode, just watch that bit. It's got to be on WWE's YouTube somehow. Or, you know, the network.
We'll do something you forgot about this one, because I think it's only fair. Something that you forgot about this one. I forgot that China used Tori like a Pikachu in a feud with Chris Jericho.
You know in Smash Brothers, when Kirby eats somebody, so he dresses like them?
Yes.
I am going to go with a bit of a sad one, a bit of a dull one this week. Mosh dressing up like Chaz.
Nice.
Kind of. That's this is the new Mean Street Posse. When they're not around, we'll talk about, well, remember Chaz?
I like it. That's nice. So thank you very much for joining me today. I believe this will be how we do it for the next week or so. Via the power of the internet, I would like to take a moment to say thank you to you for listening to this and continuing to support Cultaholic during these very strange times that we live in. We promise in return we will continue to talk about wrestling from 20 years ago.
Yes, this cannot prevent us from talking about the most important things to us right now, which is, how bad is the Big Show this week?
Actually, here's something I forgot in terms of SmackDown. Here's something I forgot. A live crowd.
Aww.
Live fans at a wrestling show. Those were the days. And we will have them again soon. He is at Matthew Gregg on Twitter. I am at Tom Campbell on Twitter. Together, we are at Cultaholic on Twitter. Join us next time. Stay safe. Love you, bye.
Wash your hands.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.